Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome to this latest edition of Gun on One, the podcast. It is brought to you by Patterson Square Garden. I'm Derek Gunn. Well, Super Bowl 55 is almost upon us. And I'm sure a lot of you out there already knew this, but the biggest American sporting event is the Super Bowl. It's also the most heavily bet sporting event in America. Roughly $7 billion from the novice bettor to the pros is wagered on a Super Bowl. The number is just astronomical. So I thought I'd spend this particular podcast talking about the Super Bowl, not just betting, but prop bets. Because when I started to do my homework on betting and prop bets, I was amazed at not just the volume of money bet, but the number of prop bets out there. So I said, who can I bring in who can enlighten us in terms of just betting on the game itself and what the heck these prop bets are? So I said, a light bulb went on, which is hard for me to do considering the bulb is usually dull in the top of my head. So I'm bringing in a friend, a former colleague, and an expert, Brad Feinberg, my former colleague at NBC Sports, who's been a professional bettor since 1993. Brad, how you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing awesome. And out of that $7 billion bet, Dark, you know, $2 billion of it's from me.
I can imagine.
So it's really only $5 billion and then $2 billion for me.
Yeah, I remember you walking around the newsroom and you dropped $50 and $100 bills, and I say, Brad, hey, you dropped $100. He goes, D-Gun, just take it, man. It's like a
saying. Exactly.
You know, you drop a $100 bill in front of me, it's like somebody screamed fumble. I'm jumping on it like it's a fumble.
Exactly.
Now, Brad, you know what? To me, sports betting of any kind is like spinning a roulette wheel on life, man.
Sure.
There's so many variables involved. I'm deathly afraid to bet because, well, most importantly, my wife will say, you did what with the money? So I can't do that. So, but how did you get involved in sports betting?
You know, it's interesting, Derek. My whole life, remember, Derek, when you were, I don't know if you remember this, when you were in school, they used to give out those little sheets, at least in my school, when I was in sixth grade.
Yeah.
They give out a sheet, it would say pick three and three ties lose. I don't know if you remember that. You'd have to circle a little number, and I'd be like, what is this? What is this? I got to pick three games. Wait, I win 5-1. And I was hooked. And I've always, I went to Michigan and I was very good with numbers, always studied stuff. And for some reason, just like numbers, probabilities, I just was talented at it. I was good at it. I researched stuff. And yeah, basically from the time I finished college or whatnot, I immersed myself into the sports gambling world, and not just betting. Like, people bet, Derek, for two reasons. They bet for action, right?
Yeah.
Or they bet to win. I've always bet to win. And there's most people, I'm not saying it's good or bad, but most people bet for action.
Okay.
Like, oh, if I win, great. But they just like the action. They like the thrill of it. For me, I bet to make money. And in every bet I put in, Derek, I have, in my opinion, an advantage. And, you know, but the best bettors in the world, Derek, they're going to maybe go about 5-4. They win about 55% on most of their bets because it's hard. You know, people like, oh, they, I tell them when I do it, like, oh, you must win every single bet. Are you like, right, you think I'm Bill Gates?
Right.
Like, but if that's the kid, it's there's no free lunches out there. You got to do your research. But if you do your research and you stick to bets that are beatable, you can make a living at it and it could be fun. And I love it. I enjoy it. And it sounds corny, but I like helping people, Derek. If I can give any information to help people, it makes me feel good, because at the end of the day, I want everyone to have fun and also to make money doing this. And I think it's very possible to do. And I just love it. And it's been my life and it's going to be my life going forward. And it's getting so much bigger now, Derek. I mean, it's now becoming like, it's getting in state after state after state. And this is an avalanche. It's going to keep going and going and going, and sports betting is going to become, you see on the TV shows, Derek, people always talking about the spreads now, about everything. It's now become like the biggest thing. And it's, again, as I'm saying, it's not going to be slowing down.
You know, the fact that you've been doing this for almost three decades obviously means you've been successful at it. But what is your strategy? What is your key to success? Because when I started looking up stuff on you, one thing that jumped out at me was, I'm like, what? And it says, you like to combine computer data base with human element of sports. What does that mean?
Yes. You know, it's interesting. It's a great question, because there's people that I know that try to win just with raw numbers. And there's people that I know that just try to win with situational stuff. And here's what I mean by that, Derek. You could just, I have a database with all my numbers of power ratings on teams and every single stat known to mankind.
Yep.
Okay. And I use that. It's very important. But there's also a part where I call it like the intuitive skill that you just have to have, and either you have it or you don't. And I'm usually pretty good at it. For example, is a team in a bad spot? Is it maybe like they have a big division game coming up next and they just won a big game, and now that's a sandwich spot game where maybe they're playing a team they should easily beat, but in the next game they're playing their division rivals. Maybe this game they're not going to give quite as much. And Derek, you, from all your years in the industry, you're an expert in this too. You probably, in my opinion, would be great at that. When you're covering Philadelphia Eagles, there's probably certain games you're like, you know, gosh, I just get a feel that they're just maybe not quite as into this game because the 2 weeks in is Dallas, but now they're playing Jacksonville the week before, maybe they're not quite as up for it. So I try to look at spots in games. Is this a spot where I think this team will be fully motivated? And numbers can't tell you that. Like, but on the flip side, I can't just look at it and say, okay, I'm going to go my intuition. I also have to look at my numbers too.
Right.
What do my power rankings make a game? So to me, it really is a combination of the two. And in my opinion, you can't just win by doing one or the other. You have to have a combination of both, because your power numbers, you're only as good as your power numbers and your ratings. But at the same time, if you only go strictly by that, you're going to fall trapped to missing out on bad situation for teams or good situation for teams. So I try to always look at who a team just played, who they're playing next, and is it a good spot or a bad spot? And when you could do those things, did they just come off a big blowout win where maybe they're feeling a little fat and happy? And or did they just come off a big blowout loss where, like, oh my gosh, now the coach is going like Ray Rhodes on them, like, all right, let's we gotta win this game. We gotta give them everything we have, you know, like a big motivator like Ray Rhodes was, and getting really up for a certain game. So to me, like, that's, those are the things, Derek, that I like to look at. I have to combine those two.
All right. You went to the University of Michigan, as you mentioned a moment ago. You got a degree in economics. Did you ever apply that degree to the economics field, or no? You went straight to betting.
No, you know, it's just, I did two things. I was in a family run business. We had a clothing company.
Okay.
Okay. And I did my sports. I did my sports gambling, like, and that, which is something that, I really had no time, because between doing the clothing and the sports, I mean, I didn't sleep. I mean, that was my life. But the sports, Derek, I just, it's especially when things opened up, like years ago with like the PASPA, when it really like when Governor Christie really tried to make it a huge thing, then it really changed my life. Because now, before Derek, I was able to bet in Las Vegas, right? And I would fly to Vegas all the time. I would be going all the time. But now I live in Philadelphia and I have a place in Jersey also. I can go to Jersey all the time, and there's like 10 good casinos where I can bet there constantly. But yeah, look, but having a numbers background, in my opinion, always helped me just be successful, because it always just came natural to me, numbers and probabilities. To me, there's two different kinds of people. There's people who like maybe know like advanced calculus and stuff like that. Does that stuff help you with stuff I do? Maybe not. Like I have in my opinion, a functional advantage in terms of with numbers. For me, they help me in what I do. I can quickly determine, you know, okay, 5 out of 8, that's 62.5% chance that, you know, that I'm going to win. I can translate the numbers on what I need to do to have a winning bet. So I think by having a numbers background, it certainly helped me, but it's just, again, it's a passion of mine. And anyone, look, you know, if you like doing something, Derek, it really helps you become better at it, right? As opposed to, I got to go to the office today. For me, you know, I'm working for myself, doing something I love, researching stuff I love, stuff that interests me. And because of that, I've had success and I love doing it.
So you always have these numbers and percentages spinning in your head. Do you ever sleep, man? You ever sleep?
No, man. Again, I can't. Again, and I'm being honest. I'm no BS here. Like when I go to bed, I'm always thinking about what are the chances of X, Y, or Z. What are the chances of this? Like what are the odds on this? Like I'll give you a story. Like I lost this one, but I'll tell you it was the other day, Derek. It was Friday night. I was thinking Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
Matt Stafford. He's a game changer in my opinion. I've always been a big Matt Stafford guy. Where's he going to go? I know he's going somewhere. And I'm like, and I was looking and I'm like, you know, like I could see Carolina. I could see Indianapolis. And whenever a team gets him, those odds are going to crash. And, you know, I made a couple bets on those teams thinking, I think that if he goes there, those teams' odds are going to crash.
Right.
And then he went to the Rams, and immediately you had about like if I was in Jersey, I could have done it, but I wasn't. You had about maybe I'd say, Derek, a 90-second window where you could have bought in the Rams at 20-1 odds. They then went to 10-1 after news of Stafford. But you had about a 1.5 minutes, I'd say, where you could have gotten that bet in at 20-1 odds before people got him at 10-1. But I was, before that happened, Derek, I was really trying to analyze which team do I think has the best chance of getting him, which team has the draft capital. Again, I actually read articles on the Rams, by the way, and I read multiple articles where they said they didn't think they could get it done because of Goff's cap hit, because they didn't have a first round pick in 2021. But look, McVay wanted to get it done, and sometimes your research can't help you, and this was a case that didn't help me. But stuff like that, Derek, I'm doing all the time, and I'm right more and I'm wrong. This is one of the times I was wrong, but I always admit when I'm wrong. You know, and it's good to admit when you're wrong.
Sure.
And it's good to see when you make a mistake. How can I get better? I always focus on my misses, not my makes, because I want to say, what did I do wrong here? Was my process okay? How can I make my process better going forward?
All right. So how many years have you been married now?
2001.
You better know this answer or else you're in trouble. You better know this answer.
You're right about that. It'll be 20 years in August.
Okay, so 20 years. So you tell this beautiful lady that you want to get married. And she says, what do you do for your living? And you tell her, I'm a professional bettor. And what's her response?
Well, she looked like I had three eyes or 3 years or something. You know, it's funny. But it's, what's cool about it now, Derek, is back when that happened.
Yeah.
And look, even like, you know, my dad, who like, you know, I love my dad as much as anyone in the world. My dad is, I've been fortunate. I had, you know, everyone likes to think, and I had the best dad you could have.
Sure.
A dad that really, one of the reasons I am who I am is because of him and how well he's treated me and how great he is. But, you know, he, even someone like him was a smart guy, educated guy. When I would talk about this, it would be like taboo, right? It would almost be like, you know, sports better. What? What are you talking about? Like, you know, and it was a little uncomfortable, but now with the whole thing, what really honestly changed, Derek, was what happened in New Jersey when they enabled it to be legal in all these states. Now people accept it like they accept anything. It's become part of society, part of culture, which in my opinion, I fiercely believe it always should have been like that.
Yep.
But it used to be, there was a little bit of a stigma to it. Like, oh, that's what you do. But now it's like, oh, That's what you do.
Yeah.
it's changed. It really has changed in a good way. And because it used to be a little more challenging and you have to be like, I sports bet, you know, like, but now it's like, yeah, like I can hold my head high because it's everyone has it. Everyone does it. And again, I really try to help people in any way I can. And it makes me feel good to do that. And now it's become mainstream in society. As before, back when I got married, it wasn't like that. It was different. It was harder. But things have changed all for the good. And it's only going to get that much better for like people of my kids' ages who are when they grow up to be, you know, mm-hmm. gambling age legal. And it's going to be that much more in society where everyone does it. And it's not going to have that feel to it that it had, like, you know, even 5 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
So you're not surprised because I'm blown away that sports betting has taken America by storm. You look at it, it's on every commercial, TVs now, radio spots. Everywhere you turn, somebody's sports book is doing a promo now. It is huge with radio stations. And the money that's paid out just to be able to get sponsorships and to sell their airtime, it's crazy. So did it surprise you that sports betting has become what it is now?
Derek, I mean, I'm being honest, no reason to lie to you, 0%. 0%. I would have gone all in, and like I was 100, as much confident I've ever had anything in life is it exactly what's happened would have happened. Because Derek, the reason was we already saw the model in Europe. Every place in Europe, when you go to like England, every corner was a sports book.
Okay.
Everyone in Europe loves to bet, and it was everywhere. And me and my other professional sports bettors, we would always talk about like, gosh, there's going to be a time when, like, you know, when you look back and like it, when at Prohibition, like, oh my God, alcohol wasn't allowed back in, like, you know, when the Al Capone day, like, really, like,
sure,
how
sure.
could that be? There was alcohol wasn't allowed. And people were going to look back and say, oh my God, in the early 2000s, 1990, sports gambling wasn't allowed. What? How could that be? That's impossible.
Right, right.
Sports gambling's everywhere. And it'll be like going to the supermarket and buying food. Like, everyone has it. And so I actually did foresee this. It shocks me 0% because I know people inherently look at the March Madness, Derek.
Yep.
Okay. Name me one person that you know. I mean, one. Even like if it's a person who doesn't follow sports, it could be your wife, your grandmother. It's maybe not a huge sports person.
Right.
Everyone likes to fill out those brackets.
Yes.
Because it gives them something to root for, and they love it. And that's
absolutely
a form of gambling. And what's cool about sports gambling, like, you don't have to bet big money to enjoy it. I have doctor friends of mine who bet $5, $10 a game, and they're as into it as me, who's betting more than that. You know, and they love it. So I just think as society, we like to gamble. It's something we enjoy. And again, I think it's here forever.
All right. So what do you get out of this beyond the money? Is it the adrenaline rush? Is it the unpredictability of chance? I mean, what is it for you? What's the motive behind it?
Yeah, for me, Derek, and I'll be honest, like, first, I just love it. Okay, that's number one. Again, you can't, as I said, the movie Rounders, your fate chooses you. But for me, I like the fact that, look, and as much as I love sports betting, I do realize sports betting is not made for the average man, Derek, to, like, win millions of dollars, right? Like, these casinos are not built, you know, for the Derek Gunns and Brad Feinbergs to walk away like, oh, congratulations, here's 2 million, you know. Like, these are businesses, and these businesses are meant to be profitable for the corporation. So what I love, and it just makes me feel good, is, you know, I'm beating something that you're not supposed to beat. You know, like, I'm, you know, like, mm-hmm. you're not supposed to beat Patrick Mahomes in a game, right? I'm not supposed to beat these markets. But I find a way by doing my research, by doing what I have to do, and by putting in the time, mm-hmm. I'm finding a way to beat something that you're not supposed to beat, that these big corporations are supposed to win at, but I beat them. And that does feel good. I don't call it ego, call it whatever. I don't mm-hmm. know, but I just enjoy it. And it's really, honestly, it's really not so much the monetary aspect. Obviously, that's nice. But for me, it's more just the saying, you know what? I'm winning at something that is supposed to be not beatable.
Yep.
But I do it. So I just, and I love it. It's just fun.
All right. So as you know, betting for the next Super Bowl starts right after the current Super Bowl is over. So let's go back to last February. Soon as Super Bowl 54 is over, Kansas City beats San Francisco. All right. So people already started to talk about who's going to win Super Bowl 55. Let's start with Tampa Bay. They jumped off the board at 50-1 long shots to win Super Bowl 55. Okay. Then they go out and sign this guy named Tom Brady. All of a sudden now they're 16-1. And then by the time the 2020 regular season kicks off, Tampa Bay, more money is bet on Tampa Bay than any other team out there. All right. According to several sports books. Now, did you get in on that Tampa Bay action?
What do you think?
Of course you did.
Heck yeah, I did. Yeah, I have Tampa Bay. I do have a Tampa Bay ticket, 65-1 odds to win the Super Bowl. Similar to what I talked about, Derek,
yeah,
about Matthew Stafford. When the whole Tom Brady thing hit, I said to myself, I don't think he's going to be back on New England. And I really just didn't think that was going to happen. And I looked at what teams I thought made the most sense. I thought Tampa Bay made the most sense.
Okay.
And they're getting 65-1 odds. And I'm like, you know what? This is a team with Jameis Winston throwing 30 interceptions last year. Okay. They played really well. Their defense actually was good. They obviously had good offensive pieces. I'm like, and look, I don't think Tom Brady's anywhere near his prime anymore, Dark. But what I thought he did do, which he would do well, is not turn the ball over. And I'm like, if they just had a quarterback that didn't turn the ball over, this would have been a double-digit win team.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew if they got him. So, look, there was some luck involved. Obviously, he could have gone back to New England. He could have gone to a number of teams. But I did get that. But, again, it's interesting. I do have them at 65-1. My third biggest investment of the year was the Chiefs at 6.5-1. But my top two investments, again, were total blanks. I had Seattle at 22-1, which they had a good year. They went 12-4. Can't say it, but my biggest investment, and I'm embarrassed to admit, was the Dallas Cowboys. I really thought the division was going to be poor, which it was. I was right on that aspect, but I thought they would run away with this division. I thought Philadelphia was going to be really not good this year. I didn't like Washington. I didn't like New York. I thought just in the division they could win 5 or 6 games.
Yeah.
And again, I thought they had a good offensive line, great receivers, good running backs. I love Dak. I thought their defense would be improved. And I just thought not having Jason Garrett as coach would just automatically make them a better team. But they probably maybe went to a worse coach. I don't know. But again, because I had the Tampa Bay bet and I had the Kansas City bet, I'm still going to do good, even though my two biggest investments, neither one hit.
Hey, speaking of Tom Brady, of course, another Michigan alum.
Exactly.
Are you amazed at what this man is still doing at 43 years of age?
Yeah, I am. But, Derek, you know what's funny? I like Tom Brady. I've always – yeah, the Michigan thing is huge. But I got to ask you a question, Derek, and I want your opinion, because I think Tom Brady is getting maybe a little bit too much credit in terms of – he obviously changed the culture there, and he deserves everything that's happening.
Right.
But when I look at that game last week against Green Bay, you know, Aaron Rodgers was pressured almost every play. And I know, Derek, you from your Green Bay day, I know you're – you know, you've always had a fondness in your heart for that.
Oh,
for
that game hurt me. It hurt me. Oh.
Yeah. I bet that was – I had Green Bay in that game, and I was wrong. But I look at that game, and I'm like, Brady threw 7-7. He threw a Hail Mary to Godwin where the defender should have intercepted it. Somehow, not only was it not intercepted, it became a Hail Mary to Godwin.
Yeah.
Devontae Adams drops a touchdown pass that he catches probably 80-85% of the time.
Yeah.
The next play, Dalton Skinner was across the middle wide open. Rodgers doesn't see him. He throws it to Adams out of the end zone. That cost him another 4 points. Right before the end of the half, Derek, Brady throws a ball. It should have been intercepted. The defender, instead of just trying to catch it, started to run with it before he intercepted it. Next play, a 50-yard touchdown to Scotty Miller. That's another 7 points. Drop 2-point conversion, another 2 points. They gave away, Derek, 20 points to that team. And in a championship game, you can't give away 20
points. That's right. Pour salt into the wound. Keep going.
Yeah, no, look, that game hurt me too. But I didn't think Brady – I got to be honest, Derek. He threw 3 interceptions in the second half, 3. And he should have had thrown a 4th at the end of the first half. I don't think he played well. I don't think he played well against New Orleans. He played better than Drew Brees, I suppose. But I kind of feel that they've won because their defense has made a lot of plays, and I give them credit. And they've gotten some breaks. Again, I always say process over result. I feel like they've gotten a lot of breaks, Tampa Bay. I really believe that. I'm not trying to take away credit from them.
Right.
I'm not trying to take away credit from, like, for example, Philip Rivers has been just, you know, kind of ripped for being, like, you know, not that good at the end of his career. I'll be honest. And I'm not saying not deservedly so, but I thought if Philip Rivers, this version of Philip Rivers, this 2021 vision of Philip Rivers, I think if he'd been the quarterback in these past two games versus New Orleans and Tampa Bay and Green Bay, I think Tampa Bay still would have gone to the Super Bowl. I don't think it's because of Tom Brady they went. I think Tom Brady, the first 20 years of his career, he was the reason these teams went to the Super Bowl.
Right.
This time, I think he was along for the ride, and he's getting props as being the main reason. I really don't think he has been, Dark. Now, you may call me off for my thinking on that, but I think he's kind of been very fortunate. That's just my two cents. I'm curious your opinion, because you I know you know the sport as well as anyone.
I couldn't agree with you more, but here's a prime example of a quarterback being surrounded by enough talent to cover up his not only deficiencies, but also mistakes, glaring mistakes he may make at a game. He didn't play a perfect game against New Orleans. He didn't play the perfect game against Green Bay. But look at the other elements that stepped up and bailed him out. The defense making time and time again big plays. And, of course, those two teams, you know, when you look at the Green Bay team and the Tampa Bay team that met back in, I believe it was week six when Tampa Bay smoked them. Now, both teams were different teams, but here's the difference. Tampa Bay's defense was even better in the latter half of the season than they were the first half of the season. Yeah. You look at the young kids they had playing on the back end at the end. And then, of course, in that Green Bay game, they lost both of their starting safeties in that game.
It was impressive.
You know, Antonio Winfield got hurt, really well. But the other guys that stepped in, it's the number one, it's the scheme, it's the personnel, it's the diversity that you have. Then you look at who Tom Brady's throwing to. Gronkowski catches one catch the whole stinking game on a screen pass. You got Cameron Brate over here. You got Mike Evans over here. You got Chris Godwin. Okay, Antonio Brown didn't even play.
Yeah, you're right.
See what I'm saying?
I agree with you 100%.
No, it's the perfect storm.
What you just said, I think it's But I don't think the media has portrayed it. Like, I agree with everything you said. I think he's been surrounded by talent where now when he's not in the prime of his career, he could just be along for the ride, as I said, which is nothing wrong with that, by the way. I'm not like at 43 years old, he's had – look, and I'll actually say this. At the end of the year, Derek, he played really well against Detroit. Granted, it's Detroit. Yeah. Played really well against Atlanta. He played some really – they were 7-5, and they won their last four games. And he played really well against Washington in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So I'm not – he's had it for 40 – he's probably had – for a guy in his 40s, as good a year as you can have. I'm not knocking him. He's had a very, very good year, much better than he had last year. But I'm just saying specifically in these two playoff games against New Orleans.
Yep.
And again, he threw for 45 yards to Brown, Evans, and Godwin against New Orleans. But they won because Breeze threw three interceptions, had four turnovers, and their defense did it. And then again, I thought the same thing this week. He got that fortunate Hail Mary touchdown, the fortunate chuck to Godwin. I don't know. I'm not trying to. He threw three interceptions. I think the team has won up for other reasons other than Tom Brady, other than he helped change the culture, which you can never. And you, Derek, I know you have so many experience being in locker rooms. There's probably so many times you could tell when a guy was there that he changed the team. As much as anything, just the culture, the locker room. And I'm sure you've been in the Eagle locker rooms where you're like, this team just wasn't a good mix, and other teams are like, this was a great mix because of this player or that player with their positivity, just getting guys to be accountable. And I'm sure that getting Brady versus Jameis, and people may have liked Jameis, but he was a turnover machine and he made mistakes. Now you get Brady, he brings things to credibility.
Absolutely.
And if there was a guy that slacked off like 5% or 10%, maybe he doesn't slack off anymore because Tom Brady's there saying, yo, you got to stop that immediately. And he's going to listen, as opposed to someone like Jameis Winston. He maybe doesn't listen. So those are the things I do give Brady all the credit for, Dirk. But in terms of the actual on-the-field performance,
right.
I think he's maybe getting a little bit too much credit here, but that's just my opinion.
You know, during the Green Bay-Tampa Bay game, the broadcasters were talking about Bruce Arians said that Tom Brady's like having a coach on the field. There is nobody smarter when he steps to the line of scrimmage trying to decipher what he sees across the line of scrimmage. And Brady does not hesitate of calling a timeout, talking it over with Arians. Arians says, basically, do what you want to do. You know, it's a chess match, you know, for 60 minutes. And nobody plays a chess match better than Tom Brady. You know, I look at Tom Brady handpicked Tampa Bay. You know, I give him kudos for that. He basically handpicked where he wanted to go. And then, of course, they add to Antonio Brown later, you know, and you look at where they are right now. So that's why even when Tom Brady makes mistakes, unlike a lot of quarterbacks, Tom Brady is still in a game.
Absolutely.
You know, so, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. You got the young kid in Patrick Mahomes. You got the guy who should be out grazing in a pasture in Tom Brady. But he's just a marvel that at 43, he's still relevant in today's game. All right, now Kansas City. They go. Obviously, they've been a heavy favorites ever since Super Bowl 54 concluded. How have you approached betting Kansas City along the way leading up to this game?
Well, it's interesting, Derek. Kansas City, they went over, I think it was 10 or 11 weeks. This is a crazy stat. It was 2.5 months by not winning a game by a touchdown or more. Now, if I said that to you, you'd be like, that's impossible. How could this team go? In essence, they've gone 16-1, not counting the Charger game where they weren't playing their guys. They're basically 16-1, and they went 2.5 months without winning a game by a touchdown because they just kind of did what they had to do to win these games. Now, there were some misleading scores, one of those games being, Derek, the Tampa Bay Kansas City game earlier. Tampa Bay scored two late touchdowns to make it 27-10 to 27-24. But this is the team, in my opinion, where I don't want to say they were coasting. It's not, that's not fair to say for a team that went 14-1 they were coasting. And Andy right. Reid, I think, is as good a coach as there is in the league. But I feel like they just did what they had to do, and they've been waiting, in my mm-hmm. opinion. This is just my opinion. And as I said, Derek, you'd be the perfect person to ask, because when you, all your years covering teams and being in those locker rooms, this is what I'm talking about, combining numbers, but also having yeah. that intuitive feel. And to me, you would intuitive feel, you would be a 10 out of a 10 and having those feel on the certain teams if they're just waiting for the playoffs to start. But that's how I see this Kansas City team, where they were just waiting for these playoffs to start. It's like, okay, guys, now we're going to unleash everything. Right. Now we're just going to really button up any mistakes we've made. Let's kick some butt. And look, against Cleveland, who was a good team,
right?
They were winning by, I think, 2 touchdowns or 17 points when Mahomes got hurt. I thought Chad Henne got a little bit too much credit from the media. Like, they scored 3 points in 1.5 quarters with Chad Henne in the game. 3 points. Okay. He didn't come in and play like Mahomes. Like, he made a nice run on 3rd and 14, and he made the clutch pass on 4th and 1, but they scored 3 freaking points with the guy in 1.5 quarters. So let's not make him losing Mahomes in that game clearly killed Kansas City's momentum, where they would have blown that team out. And then last week against a really good Buffalo team, Derek, they won 38-24. And again, that was even misleading, that score. We had a muff punt for a touchdown, an onside kick, which led to another score for them at the end of the game. And that could have been a 38-3, 38-10 game very easily. So I think this Kansas City team right now, Derek, is the best team in the league. They remind me of Alabama, that, you know, this game reminds me of the Alabama-Ohio State college championship yep. game yep. where I know that Kansas City is going to score. And when they're done scoring, they're going to score some more. Okay. You know, and Tampa Bay, as good as they are on offense, and they're good, they'll score their share of points, but they're not going to score every time. And I just don't see Kansas City punting. It's hard to stop this team from getting 10 yards. It's really hard. And Andy Reid knows a team, Derek, what does Tampa Bay do better than anyone in the league? They stop the run.
Right.
Number one in the NFL by far against the run. You don't have to twist Andy Reid's arm to pass the ball.
That's
and,
right.
You know, and I think it's just going to be that much harder to stop this Kansas City team, because Andy Reid's going to mix in runs when he has to.
Yep.
But again, if Mahomes, and a couple props, if we could discuss, I could tell you I like, and one of them's involving Mahomes, where I think Kansas City's going to pass the ball even more than normal. The most he passed all year, Derek, was against this Tampa Bay team earlier in the year, and he threw for 450 yards.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it was his best game of the year was against Tampa Bay. Is that because Tampa Bay has a bad defense? Of course not. But it's because you can't run on this team. Andy can't even get in his mix in his runs, because you get 1 yard every time you run against this team. So he's like, all right, I'll just pass on you for 10 yards, 12 yards a shot. And so I think Kansas City is going to be too tough for Tampa Bay here.
All right, I don't have to tell you this, but, you know, Kansas City was 8-10 against the spread this year.
Yeah.
They're only the 5th team ever to get to a Super Bowl with a losing ATS record. All right, yeah. Did it make you a little nervous, uneasy, when you started deciding which way you wanted to bet, or how you were going to bet this game?
No, because, again, Derek, I always say – process over result. And when I look at Tampa Bay and how they've gotten here again, I'm not trying to take credit away from them. Their defense has played well, but I felt like Green Bay gifted them 20 points. I truly believe that. And I felt like New Orleans, now Breeze to me was an aging guy where I kind of, the dam was about to burst, and it finally burst in that one game. But I didn't think that Tampa Bay did much on offense. Now they're facing a team. This is not a criticism to Tampa Bay, Derek.
Right.
I just think you have Kansas City, you have the best players with the best offensive coach. So we're finding out what happened when you take the best skilled guys in the universe,
yep,
with the guy who's the best play caller in the universe, in my opinion, Andy Reid is, they're just unstoppable. And then you'd have to have a defense, in my opinion, Derek, like those 85 Bears back in the day. And it's so hard in this year's NFL to have dominant defenses. The best was probably the Rams. And if they were to face Kansas City, you know, I think they would get smoked. I don't think any team can stop this team. I think to beat this team, you're going to have to get lucky. If there's a deflected pass, it can't hit the ground. You got to intercept it. If there's a fumble, fumbles are luck. Who recovers it? You have to recover the fumble. If there's a muff punt, you have to recover that muff punt. They're going to need, in my opinion, at least 2 turnovers to have a chance to win this game. And if you get 2 turnovers, if you're +2, then the game, in my opinion, is probably a 50-50 kind of game. But if this turnover battle is close to even, Derek, I don't know how, if there's no flukes and no turnovers, I don't know how Tampa Bay competes. I really don't. I just think that they're too good on offense, Kansas City. They don't make mistakes. They never punt the ball.
Right.
It's just going to be really hard.
One thing I've read, I thought it was really interesting. It says a few sports books are looking at seven-figure losses on future markets. If the Bucs win Super Bowl 55, yeah. Their last four games, they've covered as the underdogs.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're right. They're playing really well. And we saw here's the one thing that's interesting, Derek. We saw Fisher from Kansas City, their tackle, leave injured. And we saw what happened. David Bakhtiari,
yep,
from Green Bay was out. And we saw JPP and Shaq Barrett have five combined sacks. And they really, one thing I will always say, Derek, and I don't know if you agree with me, but people are like, oh, how does this quarterback do under pressure? I think they all stink under pressure. And I don't mean that as a negative. I mean, like, if you have guys who are about to sack you, how can you be good? It's like, and Aaron Rodgers had an all-world year, and, you know, and he's mobile and he's great, but he was pressured on every play. And in my opinion, I don't think it was his fault. I mean, guys are in his face. Like, what are you supposed to do? And the same thing, in my opinion, would happen to Mahomes. I don't think it was an Aaron Rodgers thing. I think you saw a team that couldn't block Tampa Bay. Now, if Kansas City's offensive line struggles with, and I don't know if I can tell you with certainty how much value that Fisher is versus the backup.
Right, okay, right.
But if it's like the Green Bay situation, that's another way that Tampa Bay can stay in the game, is it getting a couple sacks, which would leads to a couple more punts from Kansas City than normally would happen. But if they cannot make those big plays, Derek, and this is just a game where there's no turnovers and the teams just play, Kansas City can't lose.
Okay. All right, now we're going to get to the meat and potatoes of this and talk some numbers here. We're going to get the prop bets in a moment, but first of all, the over-under for this game, as you know, is 56.5. Which way are you going, over or under?
You know, this is a tough one for me. Again, my numbers made this over-under right at 56, at 56.5. I think it's going to be right around there. I mean, I think it's going to be right around there. I like other variables instead, Derek. I like taking Kansas City more and Kansas City more in terms of, instead of laying three, you can do like various exotic bets. Kansas City -9.5, getting like over 2-1. Kansas City laying 12.5, getting 3.5-1. Those are things. The over-under in this game is, I would potentially take a shot on Tampa Bay's team total.
Yep.
Under, because like, you know, this is supposed to be like a 30-27 kind of game. And I like Tampa Bay to go under 27 points. I don't think that they're going to score, you know, as big as they normally score.
Yep.
That's just my opinion. Because I think Kansas City will have the ball a lot, will have possession a lot, and they're not going to punt that often. So, but in terms of the over-under itself, it's right around the numbers that I made it. But as a deviation of that, I like Tampa Bay's team total under, in terms of over-unders.
All right, as I mentioned off the top of this podcast, there's over 600 prop bets for Super Bowl, in this case, Super Bowl 55. How many prop bets are you betting on in this particular game? Give me a number.
I'll probably have, when it's all said and done, Derek, probably about 30 to 35.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot. But I have about, for the listeners out there, I have about like seven of them I really like that I'd like to share with you guys, which I think are very strong bets, that are winnable bets, that are bets, you know, I feel pretty good that you guys will all make money on. So I can share those with you, what those seven are.
Okay. All right. Before I do that, I got a bunch of just random prop bets I'm going to throw at you. I don't know if you're betting on them or not, but let me know if you are betting on them or not. And if you're not betting on them, tell me, still give some insight as to which way you would be leaning. All right, here we go.
Absolutely.
First one, which is my favorite, which is ridiculous. The amount of time the national anthem will be sung in. The over-under is 1:59. You taking the over-under?
Yeah, well, I got to tell you something. No, I have not bet this yet, but I will tell you this. No, don't laugh.
What?
I have guys, the pros are friends of mine, that they somehow, I don't know how they do it. If you're in a studio, Derek, they're practicing this, right? And you, someone is in the sports world, you know, when you have to practice something, like, you know, okay, it has to be a minute, Derek. When you're practicing it, you're going to get it between 58 and 60 seconds basically every time.
Right.
When they're practicing these national, there's people in there who are hearing these tapes, and they'll leak, because everyone now knows you can bet on this stuff. So they're leaking out saying, okay, she sung it in 98 seconds, you know, and that information gets out. And when that information gets out, it is gold. So I bet, I think the last like seven, I've won all of them, because I get information that my probands are telling me, okay, this is what we're hearing. And then it's just, and the information is almost like never wrong. It just wins. It's like free money. I have not heard anything yet on that, right. But I'm sure I will. And hopefully it'll be another winner.
All right. By the way, the last three national anthems have all been sung under 2 minutes. So just for anybody listening out there.
It used to be people would, like, really try to, you know,
oh my goodness,
extend it out.
I'm like enough like already.
Yeah, exactly. It was like a way of proving yourself. All right, I'm going to make this like the longest of the long. But you're right. Now it's kind of gone the other way.
All right, coin toss, heads or tails?
Tails never fails.
Tails never fails?
Yeah, tails never fails.
Is that your expert advice, my man?
Look, I hope everyone listens. If one thing I know you, don't bet the coin toss. Do not bet the coin toss. I'm going to give you some good bets. Don't bet the coin toss.
All right, next one. Which team will win the coin toss?
You know, I'm going to say Andy Reid wins it. Why not? I'm going to say Andy Reid.
Oh my goodness! All right, here's another one for you. Which team scores first? Are you betting that one?
Well, because the reason I'm not betting that one, Dirk, is it's too luck driven to me.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is whoever wins the cost, obviously, is probably going to defer. Okay. And whoever gets the ball first is going to be a big favorite to score first. So no, I try to stay away from the luck driven props as much as I can. Cause again, as I said, I'm not knocking anyone. If anyone out here wants to bet on this, cause it's fun.
Right.
Oh my God. Enjoy. It's awesome. And I'm the huge fan of that, but again, I'm betting to do this. I'm betting to make money. And so, but if you ask me who I think is going to score first, I would always be on the Kansas City side, because even if Tampa Bay does get the ball first, I think there's probably about a 50-50 chance that they will score, a 50-50 chance they will punt. And then again, every time Kansas City has the ball, I think it's gonna be very hard for Tampa Bay to stop this Kansas City team.
All right. Your first score method, field goal, touchdown, or other method. Which way would you lean?
Touchdown, but it's always putting in the number, Derek, especially, you know, like it's just, especially with a team like Kansas City, they score so many touchdowns. It's hard to stop this team. But look, if you're looking at just to get lucky, these odds are always efficient. These are not like when they're saying first play will be a touchdown versus being a field goal. Those numbers are efficient. Those are not what I call quote unquote bad numbers. You're betting them. You're betting just for the action, which is totally, as I said, totally cool, totally fine. If you want to do that, it's great, but you're not betting. That's not something that would be a mathematical edge for anyone out there. I'm saying, if you want to do it, I would probably just bet Kansas City touchdown to be the first score of the game. I think that's the most likeliest outcome.
Okay. What about the highest scoring quarter? What advice would you give there? Which way would you lean?
Yeah, well, usually, obviously, the second and fourth quarters are always the highest scoring quarters, Derek, because you get, like, in the first half, you get the two-minute warning where teams are always trying to score at the end versus the first quarter where there's no two-minute warning. And then, of course, in the fourth quarter, one of the teams could be down and they're going two-minute the entire time. Mm-hmm. So I would, the second and fourth quarter are clearly the two favorites here. But again, as I'm saying, like, these are bets that you're hoping to get lucky on. But I would say the second and fourth deservedly should be the favorites. And then, which one that would be between the second and fourth, you're flipping a coin.
All right, which team scores 20 points first? What's your advice?
Oh, this to me isn't so much luck driven. So this one, I do like Kansas City, Derek, again, just because, again, I'm comparing it to that Alabama-Ohio State game. I just feel very confident that Kansas City is going to have an incredible amount of success despite going against a good defense in Tampa Bay. And I think that this Tampa Bay team, while they will have some success on offense, Dark, I don't think it'll be nearly the sustained success that Kansas City will have. So I like Kansas City to get 20 points here.
All right. Now, The Weeknd is performing the halftime show. Do you know who The Weeknd is? You know The Weeknd, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so they're performing the halftime show. Yeah. Over-under on songs sung. The over-under is 8 songs. Would you take the over or the under?
Oh, I got to go under. I got to go under. That seems high to me.
What I'm seeing is the over-under is 8 songs.
Well, you know what? Because they'll probably do one of those things where they probably will sing part of a song for like maybe like 40 seconds, 50 seconds, and then go on maybe the chorus or like whatever. Like maybe as opposed to singing the entire song. Because the entire song, no way, Jose.
No.
That's impossible. No. But I'll still go under 8. You?
I would go under eight. I mean, I don't want to hear eight songs. I want to get back to the second half of the game. I don't want to hear that.
I was going
to
say, eight seems really high to me.
I love the weekend, but I don't want to hear eight songs.
Yeah, eight songs.
Well, you know, they extend the halftime. But they extend the halftime show now, and you know what? They do bits and pieces. They'll do they'll do a montage of stuff. They won't do the whole song. So maybe eight.
Yeah, I'm going to go under eight. Actually, that seems really. I mean, it would take nine for you to lose. It'll take nine. Nine songs?
Yeah.
That seems high.
All right.
I may have to look at that, Derek. I'm going to actually have to research that sucker now. I'm being serious. That sounds like.
Let me know if I'm right or wrong.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
All right, here's one that's really weird. Will The Weeknd mention President Biden? Now, here's the numbers I'm looking at. Yes, is that +750? No, -2,000. I mean, seriously, somebody bets on this stuff?
Well, here's the best part about it is, can you imagine if you were told they're going to mention Joe Biden, you can get +750? You'd be like, man, I'm betting you could get there. You're getting 7.5 to 1. Oh my gosh, that's the kind of information I would love to get. You give me that, I'll freaking be retired, and I'll be like, oh my god, give me 7.5 to 1 on that information. But yeah, I mean, look, that's obviously an information kind of based thing. The odds are clearly it shouldn't happen. But gosh, sometimes don't you wonder this? If someone saw that who was performing, and they'd be like, I can get 7.5 to 1 on that. I'm gonna pay so. Why not? Let's make someone happy. Because no one's laying 20 to 1 on the no. No one's laying 20 to 1. But there are some people I'm sure will take. A friend of mine who was a bookmaker always used to tell me. He goes, Brad. He goes, you could. He actually used this analogy. He goes, you could say, a helicopter land into the 50-yard line at the start of the fourth quarter, or something that's not never going to happen. Say yes, 50 to 1. People will just bet it just because. Oh well, maybe people like to bet yes at big prices, like they do, and no one likes to lay no at a big price, but they like to say, oh God, maybe this will happen. Will it snow? It's something that can't happen. Like they'll still bet it just because.
All right, here's one I'm going to be watching closely. I'm not a better, but I'm going to watch this one closely. I think this is interesting. What will be mentioned first? Tom Brady's 10th Super Bowl or Tom Brady's age 43?
Wow.
I got you thinking now, don't I?
That's a great one. Now, that is, I was just going to initially say the 10th. I'm going to say 43.
Okay. So that's what you would tell bettors out there. Hey, lean towards a 43 more so than his 10th Super Bowl.
Because here's what they're going to say. I think, tell me if you agree with me. It's the guys, they're going to say 43-year-old Tom Brady headed to his 10th Super Bowl.
Yes, exactly.
Kind of like you can kind of just lead it into that.
I agree with you 100%.
As opposed to in his 10th Super Bowl is 43-year-old Tom Brady. I think 43-year-old Tom Brady now in his 10th Super Bowl makes a lot more sense.
All right. Final answer. Now, here's the moment of truth. I want everybody out there to listen closely. It is time for Brad Feinberg's 7 best sure money prop bets for Super Bowl 55. Go.
And if I lose, Derek's giving a refund on everything.
You won't find me, brother.
His address is going to change real quick. Okay. I got two punt prop bets for you, and they're both kind of similar but different. Kansas City Derek over under 3.5 punts -148 to the under. I like under 3.5 punts. They've gone under that about 2/3 of the time, but in the playoffs the last 2 years, Derek, they have never once punted 4 times. Okay. And I see no reason why they're going to punt 4 times against Tampa Bay. I think it's just going to be, they haven't under Andy Reid in the playoffs the last 2 years. They've gone under every single time. I just think it's going to be very hard for them. I like under 3.5 punts for Kansas City next. This is my favorite one. Out of all the props, this is my favorite one. Which team will punt more? Tampa Bay is -140. Derek, for all the reasons I've been saying, I just feel so good that Kansas City is going to just move the ball and score. Move the ball and score. And I just don't see many punts. On the other side, I don't think Tom Brady has played that great, Derek. Mm-hmm. And we talked about it on the show. Like I think he's played nicely in some spots, but he's not as consistent as that when he was 27 or heck when he was 37.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
And I think that they will have enough times where they don't score. I don't think this is a team that's going to score every time. I think they will punt some. And I just think, this bet should be way over 2 to 1 odds and only laying $1.40. I love Tampa Bay to have more punts than Kansas City. Next, McCole Hardman good player, but his over-under is 28.5 yards, Derek. He's gone under that 7 of his last 9 games, okay? Now, in addition, we have Sammy Watkins coming back, which, in my opinion, is going to limit his snap count at least a little bit because they have DeMarcus Robinson, too, and I think Robinson and Hardman. It's been the Robinson. By the way, it's been Robinson in the past who's gotten the playing time over Hardman, Derek. I follow this because I have to follow this stuff.
Sure.
Now, for this one game, won't be that way. Maybe, maybe not. But Hardman, as I said, has gone under 7-9 with Sammy Watkins coming back. I'm going to dare him to get 29 yards receiving. Similar one here, Byron Pringle, 1.5 receptions. He's gone under that 5 out of 8. He's gone over that. I'm sorry. He's gone over that only 5 out of 18 games. Okay. So he's 13-5 to the under. Now, again, we talk about Sammy Watkins being back. I think there's a real chance, Derek, that Byron Pringle gets 5 or 6 snaps and has no chance just because he's not even going to play.
Yeah.
Now, before he was playing and he was still going under, now I don't think he's going to play. So I think that's a really strong bet. That's 4 of them. Tom Brady. Now, even though I didn't, and I am picking Kansas City to win the game, Derek, Tom Brady's over-under for touchdowns is 1.5. Now, you could bet 1.5 minus 215, but you may say, God, that's a big number, minus 215. You have to put up 215 just to win 100. But, Derek, you can still have value on that because, listen, Tom Brady's gone over 1.5 touchdowns 16 of the 19 games, including 10 in a row. And now, while I do expect Kansas City to win the game, that doesn't mean that Tom Brady can't have 2 touchdown passes. Again, he's been about 85% this year. I think this line should be at least 3-1, minus 300 at least. And, again, he's gone over 10 straight times. I think that's a good bet, Derek. This is an interesting one, and it's Cameron Brate. He says he certainly played well, and he's a nice player for them, but his over-under is 3.5 catches. He's gone under that 13 of 17 games. He's gone under 3.5 catches.
Wow.
And you can get plus $1.25 on the under. So to me, it's like here's a guy who's only doing it about 1 out of 4 times, and you're giving me plus $1.25 he goes under here. Again, I see no reason why, you know, even if you want to call it 50-50, which it's not, you're giving me plus 125. That means it's a really strong bet. And the last one I'm giving you, Derek, totally penalties in the game. Now, these teams, it's 11.5, and these teams are averaging 11.5 penalties. But here's the hidden gem. First of all, their trends recently have all been down. But, Derek, in Super Bowls, penalties are usually about 20% lower than they are in a regular season game. And I want to why that is? Because I do.
No.
Think about it. This is the NFL's premium thing. Everyone in the world's watching it, right? They don't want penalties ruining the game where people are like holding penalties like, oh, got another penalty. They want people to watch the game, enjoy it, and not be like, it's a penalty fest.
Look at what they let Tampa Bay and Green Bay get away with in that game. It was professional mugging.
Exactly. You're right. And Green Bay got the short end of that stick.
Yeah, they did.
Rodgers threw his one interception on a holding penalty they didn't call. And then on the same exact play, they called at the end of the game.
Yeah.
But my point being is, and their prize, this is what everyone's watching, Derek. They don't want 15, when the announcer's like, oh, God, 15 penalty in this game. They'll call a blatant penalty, don't get me wrong. But I think a lot of those 50-50 ones that may call in a regular season game, that's why you see Super Bowls, there's less penalties. But to me, it makes perfect sense. While I'm sure the league office is saying, they're not saying don't call some, but they're saying make sure if you're going to call a penalty, it's a freaking penalty. So if you can get under 11.5, I think that's a really strong bet. I think the over-under should be closer to 9.5. So I like that under.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, there you have Brad Feinberg's 7 sure money prop bets for Super Bowl 55. Hey, my man, I got one final question for you before I let you go because I've taken up so much of your time. What is the craziest?
I love being on.
Thank you, brother. What is the craziest prop bet you've ever wagered on?
Oh my gosh, Derek! I wish I don't know what the craziest prop bet I've ever.
They're all
crazy. You know what's funny? This is one I did. Remember when she saw? I think it was for the Eagles Super Bowl.
Yes.
They had her hair color.
Yes.
And because she's a Philly girl, I bet on green.
Come on, man!
I did bet on that.
No, you didn't.
I swear to God, this is 99% of the time I don't bet that kind of stuff. But this is the one time I actually try to be amateur psychiatrist. I'm like, she's an Eagles fan. Maybe she'll just wear it green. And I lost. But that was to me. But that was a good lesson. I'm like, all right, Brad, serves you right for being an idiot. But I did bet on pink to have green hair.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, also I want to include the fact that you have a new job description. Correct me if I'm wrong. You're working for betprep.com. Is that correct?
Yeah, betprep.com. And it's a great site, Derek. And I what happened was a friend of mine started this company. He goes, Brett, what do you think of this site? And it's called betprep.com. And I was like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. It's for someone like me that likes to research stuff and do, like, especially the props. For example, Derek, you can put in Patrick Mahomes. You can put in his last one game, his last five games, his last 25 games, his last 50 games. How many yards is his over under? Oh, I'll give you an eighth. I like Mahomes over 321.5. I lied. That's the eighth prop I'm giving you. Mahomes over 321.5
okay.
is the eighth one I'm giving because I expect a lot of passes. But you could put that in there in their system, and it'll tell you in his last 50 games, Patrick Mahomes has gone over 321.5, 27 times, gone under 23. And you could do it for rushing attempts,
right.
for receiving yards. So it's just it's a great site, and they have it for basketball too. I really like it. I use it for all my research, and I believe in it because I use it every single day.
You know really what, man? Good. You know what, man? You're a human machine. You should be working for somewhere like Apple or Microsoft, man.
You should.
I mean, you don't sleep. You constantly have numbers swirling in your head. But you know, I can't thank you enough for doing this, man. You know, I love you like family. I appreciate you coming on Gunna One the podcast, man. And don't be surprised I hit you up down the road several more times during the off season and getting into next football season because I'm not going to anybody else to talk betting other than you, my man.
I got to give you props, and I say this, no joke. I think your podcast name is the best podcast name ever. I love
Thank
it.
Thank you.
I think it's the coolest thing I've ever heard. I'm like, I think
can
it's like
can
so
we make money
awesome.
Off
it?
Can you help me make money?
Yes, yes. I think it's the best thing. I love it. I think it's phenomenal. But thank you so much for having me again. I love our talks. Love talking. I hope
thank
everyone
you,
out there can get some winners to everyone. And again, continue your great work. And thank you so much for having me, Derek. I truly appreciate it.
Yeah, you know, Brad, I would say good luck in the Super Bowl, but you don't need it, brother.
I don't need it.
It ain't luck. It's skill what you do, my man. Hey, that'll conclude this edition of Gunna One, the podcast. Once again, it's brought to you by Patterson Square Garden. Hey, thanks, everybody, for listening in this week. And as I always tell you each and every week, everybody out there, please stay blessed. But more importantly, be a blessing to each and every person you encounter. So until next time, so long, everybody.
Of D-Gun Enterprises in Patterson Square Garden. Elvin Shabazian and Wes Pendleton are the executive producers on behalf of Patterson Square Garden. Lead producer is Derek Gunn. Associate producer is John McNeil. Sound design, mixing, and mastering by Elvin Shabazian. Original music by Weatherman. For more information about the podcast, visit gunonone.com. And please, don't forget to subscribe and give us a positive rating if you're feeling the show. Thank you.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.